Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us learn our faith in a practical way. I'm Pastor Barry Quirk, and I'm joined by Pastor Tom Sliva today here in our studios in the Baltimore area. We're at the headquarters of the Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore, and we have a pretty exciting show today, I think. Pastor Love, who's away, is won't be with us this morning, but we get a special treat of being joined by Pastor Tom Sliva, who's an amazing man of God, and I think you're going to enjoy our conversation this morning about the Beatitudes, and particularly in this case, blessed are those who mourn. I just want to remind our folks that are local here that you can come and join us at our church service tonight at the Greater Grace Church. We meet here in Baltimore. It'll be at 7 o'clock p.m. Come and join us for a great message, great fellowship, and an opportunity to be with like-minded people in the scripture. We hope everybody's had a beautiful Christmas season here. And Pastor Tom, it's a great topic. We want to maybe kick off our thoughts here just by quickly recapping a couple thoughts about the Beatitudes. I think there's, you know, there can be some concepts that happen about the Beatitudes and what they are and what they aren't. And what we might start with by saying is that we really have to conclude that this isn't Jesus calling somebody into a meritorious attempt at earning salvation, right? But this is salvation that comes by living in the character qualities that God gives to us in his kingdom, which when we understand what his kingdom is all about, we understand that, especially here in this Christmas season, that it was all about Christ coming to earth and becoming a man, living among us and giving us an opportunity for salvation. And that these are, you know, we shouldn't fall into this trap of turning these, the Beatitudes into some burdensome ethical demand, right? But rather into a rejoicing attitude of being able to partake of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And that also these are for today as well as for the end times. Some people have made the mistake of saying these are just eschatological discussions that are for the end times. But as we know that there are some that are written in the present tense and some that are written in the future tense. But I think the attitude of being able to partake of the kingdom of God is for us today as well as for later. So great to have you here on the show this morning. And listeners, if you're out there, you can join us by dialing 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. Make sure that you join us on, whoever you have joined us this morning is a great place to start, but you can also join us on YouTube, Facebook, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible. Make sure that you subscribe and that you share our thoughts, our broadcast with others. So, Pastor Tom, good morning. Great to have you with us. Sure. And what do you think? What's the main point of this message of?
Well, yeah. Before I say that, I just want to say this: it's always a privilege to be on this show. I mean, that with all my heart. I mean, it's it's above and beyond my expectations for my life, but. I think one of the points about mourn, blessed are they that mourn. I think it's important to kind of get the idea, first off, what it is he was talking about there, and the word itself reveals that. And I'm just going to quote something from a commentary by Mr. Vincent. He said, "Grief manifested too deep for concealment," and it can actually mean to weep audibly. It's a deeper kind of thing than just the idea of sensing the loss of something. Whatever causes that, it's something that causes a much deeper thing that maybe eventuates in uncontrollable weeping. I want to give this little illustration. Maybe it's too soon, but I saw a movie not so long ago, and I think it illustrates kind of this kind of mourning. But the girl in this movie, who was a very good actor, she lost her husband in a plane accident. He was a pilot, and lo and behold, after that happened, and it was far away from where she lived, she started hearing that they may suspect him of some kind of foul play or terrorist activity, which, you know, compounded her loss immediately. But in her determination, she decided, I'm going to find out and get to the bottom of this, because I don't think my husband would ever do that. So in her process, she ended up going all the way to another country and discovering some things about her husband. And lo and behold, to her despair, she discovered that her husband actually had a second marriage and children also to that marriage. And she went right to the house of the person where that second marriage was taking place, had a conversation with the lady, saw the children, and she was amazingly composed in there. You can tell she wanted to, she just wanted to lambaste the lady, but she didn't. It went on for a while. She left quietly, peacefully. But when she got outside the door, she couldn't contain herself. And she just burst into tears. You could just see her shaking in tears. And she had been violated so many ways, you know, just in the beginning here. And I thought about that, and I think that is the kind of mourning that, you know, Jesus was talking about. The word seems to indicate that some kind of a deep thing, where it's not necessarily something that anybody makes a decision whether I'm going to do this or not. It just came upon this lady, and she was in the middle of it before she knew it. So,
wow,
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful thought that the depth of what happens being almost beyond our control, right? If it's the work of God. And I think the mistake here is that, and maybe the Beatitudes in general, but specifically in this, the blessed are the poor in spirit, and also those that mourn, they kind of bleed into each other, because it's something that happens as a result of a full understanding and comprehension of our condition, but we're not trying to produce that outward response. Yeah. This is, and I like this, one commentator said that this is almost, verse 3 is almost an emotional response to the truth of verse 2. You know, that when we recognize that we have poverty in our spirit because we're not capable of doing anything about the situation, but God literally has done something beyond our comprehension, that the response to that is, oh my gosh, if I were to live outside of that relationship in Jesus Christ, I would be suffering so much loss and so much consequence. And actually, when we were speaking a little bit beforehand, we were saying that when Christ was on the cross, one of the probably the biggest pain, you know, of all the excruciating pain and suffering and difficulty that he faced, was his father having to turn his back on him as the consequence of him taking upon himself the sins of the whole world.
Yeah.
And you think of the deep, you know, pain and suffering and the consequence that he felt as a result of having the father turn his back on him. And and that's, you know, I think really that's what we're talking about here, that there's a deep, and some people try to make this about, you know, this is just a consequence about sin, and that, you know, mourning shouldn't, here we're not speaking about the loss of people or friendships, but I would say this encompasses a hard attitude that's could be found in both those situations, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you have written a book on mourning, really a beautiful testimony that you expressed to me was a heart response to just the pain and suffering that comes along with losing a loved one, and you have lost your son at an early age, and that's something we hope we never have to go through. But I can tell you that your response to the way that you that God approached that situation with you personally has been such a blessing to so many. And I was on the mission field in Hungary reading that book, and I feasted on really the response. But maybe you could speak a little bit about that, because this, you know, theologically people try to make it out that it has nothing to do with mourning the loss of a person. But I think it's, again, the hard attitude we're talking about here. So what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, well, like you just said it, I think it's a spiritual, kind of a realization of spiritual poverty. Poverty that we may not be aware of, but now we are. Now we're very aware, because we've come to a place in our lives where we realize, oh my gosh, I don't have the equipment to handle this. You know, I've gone blown right past any equipment that I have to handle this, and keep in mind, I think also. And I'm saying this myself, as Jesus said, blessed is that man, which is the strangest thing we might think why, but was he also saying, blessed is the man who knows his utter depravity, blessed is the man who knows his absolute limitations, blessed is the man who has found the end of himself, where he can't do it. But also, we're not talking about mourning as the world mourns. 2 Thessalonians talks about that a little bit in chapter 4. The world mourns without hope, but we don't. Our mourning is not that way. You know, we do have hope, and there's a reason for it. And he answers it by saying they will be comforted. Blessed are they who mourn, they will be comforted. So this has a lot of implications in it, because the world is in a different category, unfortunately. But as a believer in Christ, and as a person who mourns in the sphere, we could say it, in the sphere of God's comfort and his test tube watching our lives, you know, and also identifying with us in our suffering, in all of our afflictions, he is afflicted, etc. And I'm speaking theologically, but I mean, I mean, when you have an experience like I had also, Pastor Barry, it changes you.
Yeah,
it can't help but change you. If you look at the story of Job, he was a different guy afterwards. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. So, identity crisis is happening in our lives. But I can talk a little bit more about that when we get to the point of the comfort. But honestly, there's something about it that I can say I absolutely would never wish that anybody would ever have to experience that. On the other hand, I have to say, if that hadn't happened in my life, you know, I would be quite a different person.
Wow.
And so much blessing has come directly related to that that one event in my life.
Well, that's such a mature statement to make, because, you know, obviously, as you said, the pain and consequence of losing a loved one is not something we would wish on anybody, and yet that somehow God turned that situation into an opportunity in your life to develop something that you would never have imagined being able to be developed.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, you brought a few really amazing points there that we could feast on. One is just this principle of being equipped, how to respond, you know. And I think we could do all the preparation in the world in our hearts to face situations. But there's really no better preparation than just getting to know Christ personally. Because how can you prepare yourself for the loss that you've never experienced? How can you prepare yourself for challenges and sufferings that you never have imagined or experienced? And you know, we could have theory or concepts about how to make ourselves ready, but what did you find as far as the personal response was the most important aspect of that, Pastor Tom?
Well, that's a very good question. This will seem like an around the corner answer, but honestly, the event that I experienced affected me in such a deep way that honestly, I don't think that any of my preparation mattered except for this, that somehow, some way, I knew in the depths of my being that God would get me through this.
Wow.
I didn't know how he would do that. It didn't look good super on the surface. I mean, to be honest with you, I was mad at God.
I'm sure.
You know, yep. I'm pushing God away. And that is a tremendous problem that people have in mourning. And it's not their fault, maybe. Mm-hmm. But unconsciously, we're pushing God away. Mm. I'm angry at the universe, and that means God, you know? Mm. I'm angry. But somewhere in my depth, and I believe it's because I was saved, you know, much earlier, and I had Christ in my life, and I had a lot of teaching, but it came out this way. Somehow God will get me through this.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And that was all I hung on.
Yeah,
for a couple of years, really.
Well, this is really the when we say blessed is the one who mourns, right? I think this is really, you just hit the nail on the head about defining that, because we don't expect somebody who's lost a loved one to be jumping up and down for joy and happy and, you know, exclaiming through his friendships and his family that he's had a huge loss. That's not the kind of blessedness we're talking about here, right? But we're talking about,
right.
And I find it so interesting to me that you would say, you know, nothing I did really prepared me properly for what I was going to face. And yet, on the other hand, it was the fact that you had a personal walk with God that kept you, right? And even this is what I love about being a believer with real depth of understanding, is that number one, these are not given to condemn us. These Beatitudes are not given to condemn us, but to draw us into a life of a relationship of grace. Mm. And when we realize that, listen, in my own flesh, there's nothing I could do. I would be the quickest to run away from God or be angry and maybe we experience all those things, but we are kept by that grace,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So even though you have what Pastor Stevens maybe used to call the dark days of the soul, where we just don't see the provision of God jumping off the page at us, we somehow are kept by his grace. And then in the midst of that trial and that suffering and that circumstance, we find hope and we find a glimmer of hope and an edification. And in the big picture, in the eternal picture, when ultimately the length of our days, it's not promised, right? And we don't know. You know, we're here today by the grace of God. We're in the studio together,
right,
today,
right?
But we don't know what that means in the big picture. But what we do know is that the things that happen as a result of those big pictures, right? That the storyline, yeah, that comes out when we are able to see ourselves as blessed because we have a relationship with God that has two parts of it. It has mourning. And that mourning has to do with personal loss. And also it has to do with how many days that we've wasted. I also want to pull out a little movie illustration here this morning. And that is that, you know, the movie Schindler's List, I don't know if you've had a chance to see that. But,
yes, I did.
But yeah, the beautiful picture of redemption there of a man who's hiding precious Jewish people from certain death by hiding them in his factory and purposefully, you know, causing the weaponry that they're building to misfire so that they have need to keep them employed and just finding any way possible to keep them outside of harm's way. And even at the end of that, when he's managed to save, you know, hundreds or thousands of lives, you see him at the end with his gold ring. You know, he takes his ring off and he holds it up and he goes, how many more could I have purchased with this? And what with my automobile, or, you know, and he sensed such an incredible value for what he was doing. And I think that that only happened as a result of those, the suffering that he witnessed and the deep conviction he had that that there was a need to have a relationship with God in, in that. And I think that's beautiful when you say that blessed is the man, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that he's happy on the outside, but it means that he is kept by that grace and that relationship on the inside.
Yeah. That's really beautiful what you're sharing. I love that movie, by the way.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, like as you were talking, I'm thinking this also. And I think Job is the picture of this. Get to know God. You get to meet God.
Yeah.
You know, like I think, you know, blessed, Jesus saying, you're blessed if you're mourn. Why? Because you're going to meet me.
Yeah.
You're going to meet God.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, and maybe he's saying, no, not everybody's going to meet me that way. You know, there's a price, you know. You have too much in your soul that inhibits that. And but, you know, like so in a sense, not to qualify anybody or say anybody's out of it, but in one sense, like Job, I mean, the beautiful thing about Job is not only did he rant and rave and call on God but God didn't disappoint him. He came. One day God came, says, okay, here I am. This is what you've been wanted, and here I am. And he got to see God in such a way that it absolutely changed him for the rest of his time on the earth, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that there's a great – that was the blessedness in the whole thing for Job, you know. So anyhow, whatever. So it's just a thought.
And it's a beautiful thought. And actually, you know, going from the natural to the spiritual, the natural man, you know, we're not built for suffering and pain and trouble, you know, in our natural. We fall apart. You know, we actually are in a body of sin and death, and we're living in decay every day. And if we stayed in that body of sin and death, we'd never get to experience the life that's in Christ. And I think that that there is a provision that comes from God, right? There's a provision that helps us not to live in the body of sin and death or in the concepts of sin and death. And I think that Job was somebody who had, he retained his integrity, right? And what does that mean, that I retained my integrity? You know, he says to his wife, who naturally speaking is just saying, you know, curse God and die, would you? Just get this over with. And he's saying, you're speaking like one of the foolish women right now.
Yeah.
I retain my integrity. And the integrity was not his own personal willpower. We know that, right? He had just suffered major consequences, major loss. Yeah. But it was, as you said, it was a relationship, you know, that you're going to meet God. Like you have a, you know, oh, if I had a kinsman redeemer that could be here, and you do. We do.
Yeah.
And I think this is a beautiful part, you know, part of the application of this verse, you know, of suffering, loss, and the mourning that happens as a result of it. I think in this particular beatitude, we're talking about the mourning that comes as a result of our lack of fellowship with God, right? And we don't make those, that's not mutually exclusive, that you can't mourn the loss of a loved one, or, you know, we who have experienced loss understand that that's a very real situation. But if you don't have God in the midst of that suffering, then you can never overcome that, right? Yeah. It's loss that there's no solution for.
Right.
And I think the beautiful difference between those two, the mourning of the world, as you said, which is hopeless and empty, and there's no hope for certainty that we're ever going to have the relationship rebuilt by being face to face with one another in eternity, and a whole, our bodies are going to be whole. We're going to be healthy. We're going to have fellowship with God. We're going to have, you know, be the very people that God designed us to be for all of eternity. And the world doesn't get any of that. The world just gets this empty, you live, you win, you die, it's over. And so we're so thankful that this relationship that happens with, you know, the mourning is just an opportunity for the relationship to be developed. But then there's the last part, which is the comfort. Right? And that's something that you alluded to earlier, and I'd love to hear some more thoughts about that, the comfort that God brings.
Absolutely.
The beauty for ashes that Isaiah 61 says.
Beauty for ashes. Yeah. To go along with what you were just saying, also though, the world, it's very interesting, and God bless them, but I read a lot of books on grieving. And some from Christian authors, some from secular authors, et cetera. But you know, honestly, like a lot of secular approach to grieving, bottom line is time heals all wounds, and time does not heal all wounds. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, it doesn't. Case in point. You know, rape victims, incest victims, the vast majority of them end up in disaster in their lives. They end up in terrible situations, prostitution, and then dying young. I read an entire book one time on that subject, and a girl carried rage in her life. She was molested as a child.
Wow.
Carried rage for her entire life, just inside of her, could not make it go away continually. So, I mean, you know, time is not the answer necessarily for healing all wounds. Like the comfort that only Christ can bring in my life is a tremendous blessing. Wow. It is a great, great blessing, because there's no other way. You know, there's no other way. And, you know, those might be severe cases I'm mentioning, but there's also just mild cases where people go on for the rest of their life angry at God. Or people say, well, you know, God took my loved one 40 years later. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in God. He took my loved one. Yeah, so that, you know, we all know people like that, and we're empathetic and compassionate for people. But then moving on here to the comfort, Isaiah 61 and verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning.
Yes.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Wow.
That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I'll just go through this real briefly. But, in just studying this a little bit and reading and some commentaries, you know, one of the things that God restores to a person is the sense of dignity. And we can say that, you know, to give them beauty for ashes, not the groveling of even a repentant heart, you know, which can be a very wonderful thing, of course, but not just the groveling of I'm such a shameful person. I am, but you know, I had this thought in mind how that God can get a person who actually was raped, you know, or molested in some way, and restore to them their innocence and say, no, don't you buy that. I can give you this. I can give you this in the depth of your being. I can give you innocence again. And you, because you are innocent, and by the way, you're innocent in my eyes, that's for sure.
Wow.
What a wonderful thing that can happen to a person in their life. And the oil of joy for mourning, and this is about honor. This is about the Holy Spirit. This is about God honoring an individual with the Holy Spirit and restoring a person to a place, not just a place of, okay, you're okay now, you made it through that speed bump. No, but elevating a person to honor. And this is a personal testimony, but I had such a place where God began to visit me and restore me, and it was probably a year and a half or so after I lost my son. And during that time, the Holy Spirit was just so alive. He was just so alive. But I don't subscribe to the idea that God is talking to us all the time.
Yeah.
But in a very real way, I honestly believe God addressing me as His friend.
Wow.
Start calling me His friend.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, it was so real. Whether it was my imagination or not, I don't know. But it was so real to me that it elevated me.
Mm.
It elevated me to like God takes a guy who has suffered, and not that I have suffered way more than anybody else, but a guy that has gone through something, and He gives them a place of honor in their life. And He says, Because my son suffered. Because Christ suffered, for the sins of the world. So it's quite a thing. I mean, it's hard to explain. But anyhow, moving on. So then a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness is the guy who is a smoking flax that God does not quench.
Wow.
And God says, yeah, you're about to go out, but I ain't going to let that happen.
Mm.
Your life. And then, of course, trees of righteousness. Of course, we know that we have this glorious imputed righteousness that God has given us,
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
Beautiful.
That it's all about reestablishing us, honoring us, restoring our dignity, lifting us up, giving us a place that one author said that God actually, he overcomes the grief. He said this: His comfort shall overbear all of their mourning. Mm-hmm. And that is an amazing thing.
Wow.
Because I'm grieving for a year and a half, not because I had to. I'm grieving because I'm pushing God away from my life.
Wow.
And God finds a way through that.
Wow.
And restoring a person to honor. So that's just my personal testimony.
Yeah, but you just hit the nail on the head. Just hit the nail on the head that the grieving, yes, you're grieving the loss of your son. And you could look at this naturally and say, look, anybody that knew Joshua knew that he was like a man on fire for God. He was a worshiper of God. He was a soul winner. He was active in the ministry. He was like, this is like not a guy who you could say, okay, the consequences of his poor life's decisions took him out of here. God took a very ripe ear of corn, but it's just a beautiful picture. And you could say, why, God? He did everything you asked of him to do. Why would you take him away? And you could push. And the answer to that question came from a year and a half of you having a struggle, but you ultimately got you were restored to that encouragement from the Lord, and you said that He called you His friend. And I was thinking, my gosh, He trusted Pastor Tom Saliva with that situation, your family, your precious family, that he trusted us to go through that. And that's something that can only happen as a result of us drawing near to God and letting Him minister to us in understanding it is that we have, that we need for the situation. Because as we said earlier, we don't have the answer to that. And it's such a beautiful testimony of faith. And we have people joining us from around the world here today who are tuning in saying, thank you for that testimony. And Lena from Sweden, God bless you. Great to see you here with us. And yes, Katrina, I read on the money that God heals all the wounds, not time. I'm reminded of this saying, practice yeah. makes perfect. And you've heard that practice makes perfect. Well, I'm a guy who likes to play golf. And if my golf swing's bad and I keep practicing a bad golf swing, it's not going to be made perfect. Yeah. It's going to be perfectly bad. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about how, you know, repetitive activity is how things get better, or time makes things better. It has to be that there is a change in what happens. And this is the beautiful picture that you just read to us from Isaiah about beauty for ashes, right? Beauty for ashes. So it's something that was, there's no value in ashes. Ashes are useless, right? But the beauty that God exchanges for ashes and the oil of joy, right, for mourning. And I just the picture as you were explaining, not just as somebody who knows this theologically, but somebody who has experienced it experientially, and to be able to say that in the midst of that, I became the friend of God. It's like incredible. I hope that, you know, as we're listening today out there across the globe, that we're understanding that this is a little peek into, you know, what truly the blessedness of mourning is, and the comfort that comes to the mourner when he has this walk and this relationship with God. It's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, the question is, well, how do I live this out in my practical life? I think, Pastor Tom, the greatest part of our lives is that we can walk with God and have a personal relationship with God. And then what about giving ourselves a lot of grace and mercy? Yeah. Because what if you were to wake up every morning and condemn yourself for your lack of faith while you're going through mourning, right? And this is why I really love the body of Christ. You know, I had a loss in Hungary. My mom passed away on the mission field. And, you know, in a sense, it's very pale in comparison to the kind of suffering that a lot of people go through, only because I think really with her in mind, my father had passed away, and she was almost like walking with God and was no more. She came to visit us on the mission field. She got to experience what we were doing. She stepped off a bus, never had a sick day in her life, and in the presence of God, right? Yes. It's incredible. When I think about it after the fact, I just say, wow, God was so gracious. She didn't, her biggest fear was to be a drag on her family, and God just graciously took her home to be with the Lord and to reunite her with my father. But the point is, there is, you don't know how to respond to that, and you don't know what you're going to do. Well, in my particular case, it just so happened that Pastor Love and Dave Hill and some other people were visiting Budapest at that time and were in my home the day that that happened. And he gave me a provision of joy. You know, there was there was an oil of joy in the midst of my suffering. And I got to see, and none of those guys had the answer for me, right? They didn't have the little canned statement like, I'm so sorry, you know, and we are sorry for people's loss, but those words are only surface deep. Yeah. But knowing somebody that's love is based in the relationship that they have with God, and investing in you in that love is what really the blessing of God is. So we would say to people who maybe are out there today and are saying, I don't want to face suffering, I don't want to face challenge. Well, we don't want to face them, but can we get to know God personally enough that he can trust us to be called his friends, and that he would say, in the midst of your trials, you could retain the integrity of getting to know God personally in that, right? And having God be the provision that we couldn't even produce if we wanted to produce it.
Yeah.
But God, over time, revealed himself to us to the place where we can experience that with joy and with gladness. So, you know, we're so thankful for the Lord, and we see Aretha says that her mom went to home to be in heaven with Jesus on this day, and so God bless you, Aretha. We're praying for you and for your family, and also these things, as you said earlier, Pastor Tom, maybe to conclude this thought on this, but you said rape and suffering and incest and consequences of miserable things that nobody would ever wish upon themselves ever, and could live in bitterness forever about that. God wants to take that suffering, that trial, that challenge that burns in our hearts, and exchange it for beauty, right? He wants to exchange those ashes for beauty and for gladness and joy instead of suffering. And that's the kind of relationship that we can have with God.
And and that's the great, that you said it very well, Pastor Barry. That's the great point, is why are we saying these things? Because I believe, who am I? I'm just some dude like anybody else. You know, every believer can have that hope in them.
Yeah.
That somehow, maybe even it's a hope like I had, which had a lot of doubts with it, you know, helped my unbelief all the way, but maybe it's a hope that somehow God can raise me up above this, and I don't have to live out my life in rage or anger or, you know, just messed up, you know, in my thinking, that there's a real possibility. And I think what we have experienced, Pastor Barry, we know that's how God is.
Yeah, yeah.
God loves people. God really loves us. Really, you know,
really does.
He really does.
this is like the miracle of our walk with God.
Yeah,
that He loves us. You know,
He loves us,
and that's precious. With Psalm 51:7 says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, You will not despise. And I love earlier that you said that this is the man who's the smoking flax or the bruised reed, who God says, I'm not snuffing out your smoking flax, and I'm not going to break the bruised reed, but I'm going to restore you, right? I'm going to restore you. And this is the promises of God, are that He wants to take this broken, empty. We have this Pharisaical thought that if we could just live above the fray, or we can be, you know, walk in our uprightness, our own uprightness and our own righteousness, that we'll somehow please God enough and He'll give us His blessing. And He's saying, look, the only way for you to get blessing is to realize there is nothing that you can do to preserve yourself. Yes. You can't fix your own smoking flax or your own broken reed. You know, you cannot fix it. You cannot do it on your own. But what you can do is you can draw nigh unto Me, and I'll draw nigh unto you.
Yes.
You can be the one who says, I believe, like Abraham said, I believed, and for righteousness' sake, it was counted unto him, right? I believe. And I don't even feel that sometimes. I wake up in the morning and I feel the longing and the suffering and the mourning, and God says, I understand, but draw nigh unto Me, and I'm going to heal that. I'm going to give you the salve, the healing balm of Gilead, right? This healing balm. And I'm sure that that's something that you over the years have experienced. And there are moments of fragrance of memories where you might have a trouble situation, but you can still experience in those moments the healing of God.
Yes, absolutely. I love that James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. I actually wrote that down as something to share.
Yes.
But I also think he goes on to say this, cleanse your hands, you sinners.
Wow.
Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Mm. Be afflicted and mourn.
Yes.
And weep.
Yes.
Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And another blessedness of having gone through something without deciding or without choice is now I know what it feels like. Like I've told a lot of people this, just when you feel like crying, just cry. Mm. You know, like if you're grieving, you feel like crying, because here's what happened to me is I learned the whole doctrine of crying over a period of a couple of months. I learned how it worked. I learned how long it goes, and then how it ends, and so I found out why not cry? I can just cry, because like in 5 minutes from now, I'll be all cried out, and it'll be done. You know, so I learned the whole ropes of crying.
Yeah,
and then James is saying, don't be afraid to go there. Just go there.
Yeah,
go there. Mourn, grieve.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a shame. There's no shame in it. There's actually blessedness in it, you know.
Yeah. This is something that God designed us in us, right? And our mourning is something that's given to us from God to experience along the lines of our difficulty comes the parallel of his life for us, right? And the whole point of this episode here today is that we are not somebody who can afford to experience the lack of a sinful life that prevents us from entering into the kind of personal relationship that will give us the provision as a healing for our difficulties and our mourning. And that's why we're blessed, not because we have been afflicted with difficulties, although that is in a sense a blessing, because we get to go along with that and have a relationship with God that delivers us from our own selves, which is huge. So Pastor Tom, it's such a blessing to talk to you this morning about this. And really, this is like a topic that I think many of us, as we see from all the responses to the chat here this morning, that many, many people have said, you know, thank you. And for the testimony of faith, for the experience of walking with God. And we just really are joyful and thankful to be able to share that with you. So folks, we hope that you got to share this beautiful testimony. If you did and it blessed you, share it with somebody that you know. Somebody that you know could use an encouragement to walk with God and to be in the presence of his provision rather than in the consequences of suffering and pain outside of God as the world mourns. So, Pastor Tom, we're glad to have you with us today, and it's been our pleasure to be with you, the body of Christ. Come and join us tonight if you're in the area for our Wednesday evening service, 7 o'clock, right here on Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore. And also tune in tomorrow for the next segment on this topic. Kevin, we're sorry we didn't get to you today on the phone. Next time. God bless you. Have a great day.